Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Well, Father, we thank you we can gather. And we thank you for your word, which never fails, and your word, which is eternal. And your word is for all seasons, for all tribes, all tongues, for all time, all cultures, all patterns. Your breath-filled word, Lord, is you speaking to us. Help us to listen to you this morning, Lord. And if we want to know you, we need to know what you're telling us that we should hear, that you said so many years ago, and you put it on a page so all thereafter that would be in this time-space domain could read it and receive it. And we pray this morning for those who do not have access to your word, Lord. But Lord, guide us now as we do have access, as you've given us Bibles, most of us many Bibles and different translations and all, but it is one God and one message. And so let us receive this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn to your notes. We're going to be looking through the penitential Psalms for the next 7 weeks, and we're looking at the first one today, Psalm 6. And it's been said that to really understand the Psalms and understand them fairly quickly, read through each penitential psalm every day of the week, and you will cover the 7 of them and continue to read them. They're all basically the same pattern exactly. Total repentance and humility to begin, acknowledging the difficulty of the situation and basically taking responsibility for the parts of it that are the psalmist's. And, you know, not all chastisements are from us. I mean, from what we do, it's from what God lets us do and how we respond and so forth. But most of them are. And in these penitential psalms or repentance psalms, if you'd rather use that word, we see most of the psalm in the difficult. In fact, the bones grow weary. In 6 out of the 7 psalms, the psalmist talks about his body groaning, his bones groaning from his sin, his bones groaning. And I think that is significant because our sin really affects us. And how much are you concerned about your sin? Is it, it's not that big a deal, it doesn't bother me that much? Well, you're a long way away from where the psalmist is, from where King David was. And when we see his humility here, when we see him crying out to God, it's just amazing to think this is one of the strongest kings in the world. This is not just some down-and-outer who is just miserably no hope at all. This is no wonder God called him a man after my own heart. And so as we read this, I just can't help but kind of compare my heart to David's. And I haven't got on the screen yet, so there's still no comparison yet. He's up here and I haven't gotten on down here yet. But you can see his love for the Lord and his fear of the Lord. And it's just so awesome. And then all of those psalms end with 1, 2, 3, some cases 4 or 5 verses in victory after the Lord has heard the cry. So as we go through these the next 6 weeks or so, may we learn from them, because I think these are so good in this first aspect. So let us begin by singing, "Guide me thou, O great Jehovah," because we keep saying, hearing David to cry out to the Lord. In fact, Yahweh, the Lord, is in every one of these penitential psalms. In this one, he's there 7 times. In 43, he's 8 times, and some cases 4 times, some cases 5 times. But he's always praying to Yahweh because he's not praying in the name of Jesus because there was no Jesus yet, right? And he really had the Spirit, I think, because God put the Spirit in him. But not everyone had the Spirit in those days like we do. So we're in an infinitely better position because we know the Messiah has come, because we'll see him today, worrying about death. And the Old Testament saints really worried about death because it was very murky and they didn't know what was ahead. They believed, but they didn't know what was ahead. And so they cry out then to the Lord. And that's something we don't have to do. We'll see in today's psalm that he's talking about in the grave, there's no remembrance, there's no this. And that's the way they looked at it, but that's not the truth today because we have the word of the New Testament since Christ came, and we will talk about that as we go through it. So let's begin. Just guide me now, O great Jehovah.
Guide me, O great Jehovah, who lives through
Amen. Agreed. Well, turn in your notes or your Bibles to Psalm 6. And as I mentioned, this is the first of seven repentance or penitential psalms. The other six being Psalm 32, 38, 51, which I'm sure you're well familiar with, or probably all of these, 102, 130, and 143. And again, seven psalms. So on these next 6-7 weeks, we'll be going through these psalms. As often as you can, remember to read one of them a day, and you'll really get an idea of what the psalms are all about, at least in these areas of where, as I mentioned earlier, it starts with repentance. It starts with a great, you're down in the pit, really. And how many of us get in the pit? I mean, we get in the pit all the time, don't we? I mean, through afflictions, and we cry out, why God, I don't understand, I don't understand, I don't understand. But we see the psalmist moving from that wailing position of crying out through prayer and literal tears. And then the Lord hears his cry, and then it ends in a song. So all of these will begin in a cry, in a wail, and end in a song. That's a beautiful example for us, I think. So in Psalm 6, we read, O Yahweh, and we have Yahweh, or Jehovah, seven times in this little psalm. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Now this is the king of Israel. This is one of the strongest kings in the world. And notice his intimacy with the Lord. He's recognizing that he's done wrong because he says, I know you're going to rebuke me. I know you're going to chastise me, but don't do it when you're really mad. And that's not God. God never gets really mad. But we do, don't we? How often, well, maybe you never did it, when one of your children would really upset you and you reacted while you were kind of up here in anger. It's not a very good way to react, because that's usually doling out more discipline and more correction than that's called for, right? And it's better to wait, calm back down. So David knows he's going to be chastised, but he says, Lord, not in your anger. Don't give me the full. Don't give me what I deserve. Give me a little bit less, he says later about mercy. But nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord. And what a great prayer that always is. And if we don't feel that we really only can cry out for God's mercy, I don't think we've come to the right spot yet in praying, really, because we are still too proud. And, oh, Lord, I'm really pretty good. You know, I'm not getting much more than I really deserve because, you know, I'm really pretty good. No, we're rotten to the core, and we've been given so much. All we can really do is cry out for mercy, right? And he says, why? For I am weak. Now, what have you been taught since childhood, particularly you guys? Be strong, be strong, be strong. You can take it, you can do it. You can't. You cry out to the Lord when you get to the right place. I am weak. I'd like to try. At times I feel so strong. I'll take you on, Satan. Man, you know, And the angels are saying, no, 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 you're all wrong there. Don't think you're strong because you're weak apart from the Lord. Have mercy on me, Yahweh, for I am weak. O Yahweh, heal me. Now, because of this verse, it seems like there must have been some illness or maybe some sin. We have some of the other penitential psalms where he says his loins are inflamed, and many people think that he had some, you know, venereal disease or something or other in his older life. We don't know exactly when these were written. But at any rate, here he's got something that he's crying out for healing. And the healing is affecting his soul, and it's affecting his body, because he says, heal me, for my bones are troubled. And I think I mentioned in six of these seven penitential psalms, he mentions his bones are hurting, they're groaning, they're troubled, they're roaring in one place, it says. But here he says, my bones are troubled. You know, when you're really in pain, doesn't just everything in your body, I can't imagine what my bone feels and what I don't feel, but it just seems even all the way through my bones, they're hurting it, doesn't it? And David is saying, because of what he has done, I think, and maybe that in combination of what he's sick from or whatever he is, he says, my bones are troubled. My soul also, here's his soul affected as well. My innermost being is also greatly troubled. Have you ever felt that way? That you were just kind of a mess? And I mean, just it's all going down and you don't know why, or maybe you do know why, and you just feel so guilty and you just feel so forlorn. You just feel so down, you know, you're lower than a snake, which doesn't even have any legs, right? You're just crawling along. So this is kind of where he is. And then he just has a very abruptness here. But you, O Lord, how long? And he doesn't even finish that sentence. But it's in a way kind of like Job would cry out, how long, Lord? How long is this going to go on? How long? How long? And he cries out then, return, O Lord. You know, and at those times when you're really down, don't you feel like the Lord is really far away? I mean, there are times when you're with the Lord, he seems like, oh, you're right here. And other times it's like, you know, where is he? I can't seem to find him anymore, right? Because of the sin separating you or whatever. But he says, return, O Lord, Yahweh again. Just notice how many times he's crying out to Yahweh, to O Lord. Deliver me, O save me, for your mercy's sake. He's not crying out to save him for his mercy's sake. He's crying out for your mercy's sake. Save me for your mercy's sake. Now, this next verse is not correct as we know it in the New Testament. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? Well, the Spirit writing through Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? So there's no interference in the time span, or well, maybe there isn't time span, but I mean, death doesn't stop anything other than in breathing in this tent here. My spirit, my soul lives on with no interruption, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But in the old days, they believed and they called it Sheol. You went into Sheol and you didn't know how long you're going to stay there, but that's where you were going, and that was pretty accurate because you couldn't go to heaven because the sin had not been paid yet, right? Price of sin had not been paid. And we read in Luke 16, there's actually two compartments in Sheol. That is for the unbelievers and for the believers, but everybody was there. Nobody could go to heaven yet until Jesus came, right? 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus paid the price on the cross, then the veil was rent, and when he breathed his last breath, it is finished. Now the price of sin has been paid. And then he went down, and I think he led the captives free. We see then that we don't have to be concerned about what happens to us after death in this body at all. In fact, we want to rejoice. We want to rejoice when we leave this old tent and get this beautiful, we will get this beautiful new body on resurrection when the church is raptured. In the meantime, we'll be immediately with the Lord, and what that's all about, nobody really knows exactly, except that we're in his presence. What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross? Today, 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 you will be with me in paradise. Not years from now, not decades from now, not 60 days from now. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. So we see then that David was, as all Old Testament, that's where we read also in Hebrew, that death has lost its sting, or well, that's in Corinthians, but in Hebrews, Jesus had the victory over Satan, and no longer does Satan have that hold over man of fearing death because of what Christ has done. He continues on, I am weary with my groaning. Have you ever groaned so much you became just tired, weary with it? All night, I make my bed swim. What poetic talk here. All night, I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away. I'm sure they were red and blurry because of all his crying. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Now, can you imagine, again, the king of Israel in this condition? I mean, I guess you can, but for him to admit it and to cry out to the Lord about it, I think it's so awesome. Not just for the king, not just for the little K-I-N-G, but for us little K-I-N-Gs too, really. Every one of us. But now he is going to change from crying out to singing, really. And he's going to come now against these people, these backstabbers and these others who are against him. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Why? For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Now here again, we had that last week too. What voice is in weeping? We don't really know, but we really know that that is kind of the ultimate in crying out emotionally, isn't it? And so the Spirit knows what's going on there, even if there aren't words that you would hear in weeping. But the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. And again, repeating, the Lord has heard my supplication. How exciting when we pray to know that the Lord hears. I mean, we all say, yeah, the Lord hears my prayers. And then, you know, nothing happens. You say, well, maybe he didn't hear that one. Yeah, he heard it. But maybe the answer is no, or maybe the answer is wait. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. And then the Lord will receive my prayer. Are you praying with that confidence? The Lord will receive my prayer. If it's in accordance with his will. If you say, well, I want to win the lottery tomorrow, and I know the Lord will receive that prayer. He probably will receive it, but he's not going to give you what you want. He's going to give you what you need, right? But if you're asking for his will, he will hear it, and he will do it at his time. The Lord will receive my prayer, and then let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. And I kind of sense there at the end, he is praying for his enemies to come to the Lord. Let them turn back suddenly and turn away from their wickedness and turn to the Lord. And we've mentioned so many times, and we're told to pray for the kings and those in authority. We want to pray that they come to the Lord, right? That they would have the fear of God before their eyes and they would turn back to the Lord, or they would turn to the Lord. Maybe they've never been back to turn back, but they would turn to the Lord. So he ends then in this great victory cry, in a sense, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. And we could put the word our in every one of those. The Lord has heard our voice. The Lord has heard our supplication. The Lord will receive our prayers. Father, we thank you for the speaking to us in this psalm and in this group which is here to pray. It is a particularly relative psalm, Lord, as your whole word is. But Lord, guide us now in this time of prayer as we bring the things that you, Spirit, would put on our hearts to pray for. In Jesus' name. So let us pray. Let's read Psalm 6 one more time. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I'm weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. Father, we thank you for meeting us here again this morning, and I just pray as we leave this place, we would not stop praying, we would not stop praising you, we would not stop being in awe of you and your mercy and your grace. Lord, put a song of thanksgiving and praise in each of our hearts and each of our lips this day. And Lord, may your will be done. May it be done in each of our lives as we would honor you and be available for you, whatever that means. In Jesus' name, amen.